So welcome, everyone. This is Nina Amir with Copyright Communications and Write Nonfiction in November with our second teleseminar of the Write Nonfiction in November Challenge. And I am so pleased today to welcome you all here and to welcome Penny Sansevieri, founder and CEO of Author Marketing Experts. She is a best-selling author and internationally recognized book marketing and media relations expert, as well as an adjunct professor at of self-publishing for New York University, where my daughter attends, I must mention. And her company is one of the leaders in the publishing industry and has developed some of the most innovative social media and internet book marketing campaigns. Plus, she's the author of 5 books, including Red Hot Internet Publicity, one of my favorite books, which has been called The Leading Guide to Everything Internet. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is internet publicity and promotion for authors. So I think that at this point, I'm going to just say welcome, Penny. Penny, are you there? Penny, did I mute you too?
You know what? I could have sworn that I hit the star, but I could call back in.
No, that's okay. I'll just unmute everyone. Those of you who are on the call, could you hit star 6 and mute yourselves?
Sure.
Thank you. So anyone on the call, please hit star 6. Okay, so anyway, Penny, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that inviting me to be on this call. I'm so excited. I love teaching. So,
well, I really appreciate you being here, and I think that that for authors, it's so important. And I think that's how I want to just start, is to just say that I really do find that for authors, it's so important to build a platform and to work on publicity and promotion. And in my experience, they don't tend to want to do that, and they seem to be scared of the internet. And I know this wasn't the first thing we were going to talk about, but I thought I would just ask you first to just address that. Do you find that writers and authors don't want to get on the internet and don't want to do social networking and get involved?
Oh, absolutely. I find it, I mean, both because it's intimidating for them, and because they are, they don't know what to do, and because it's confusing, you know, they don't know where to start. It's confusing. There are a lot of options, so they opt not to do anything, which I totally understand because it's a normal human reaction. Unfortunately, you know, the internet is really, I mean, gosh, you know, if you're not online, it's not a good thing. I mean, so many books are bought online. There's so much, you know, there's just so much going on that you have to participate in that internet conversation.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But I see myself struggling with it with my clients all the time, that they just don't seem to want to get online and get social. So,
yeah.
So I'm so happy that you'll be just talking about this today, and I'm hoping that you'll encourage some aspiring authors as well as some published authors to get online and get social and to not only build that author platform that they need, but to be using social networks to help them sell their books.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. So what would you say you feel is the biggest secret to online promotion?
It's really messaging. I mean, you've got to have a really strong, concise message that your audience cares about. Most of the time, we launch our internet campaigns and it's sort of all we can do to kind of learn the ropes of what these various, what to do on Facebook and how to set up a Twitter account and what to blog about. But most authors don't spend the time that they need to figure out what exactly their audience wants. And I will tell you that you can learn all the tools of the trade. You can learn the exact perfect time to pitch to, you know, to post on Twitter, to post on Facebook. You can run ads, you can do all those things, but if your messaging is not consistent, then people are not going to be able to follow you. They're not going to become engaged in your message. So that's the first piece of it. I mean, I understand that everybody has bigger, broader goals. They want to attain whatever. They want to promote their first book. They want to get speaking. They want to get consulting. They want to get a publisher. But if your audience is not engaged in your message, you know, it's sort of like people say, well, how can I get somebody to evangelize, you know, to get up and just go, oh my gosh, this is such a great, you know, this is such a phenomenal topic, or this is such a phenomenal book, or whatever that is. When you get people engaged in your message at that level, then you know that you really have, you know, hit a home run with your messaging. We had a gal about 2 weeks ago. She emailed us and she said, you know, I was at a conference and I was debating whether or not, this is the greatest thing, because I was debating whether or not to hire you guys for a book that I'm working on, and we had sent her a proposal. She goes to a writer's conference to interview some other marketing people, and some woman stands up in the middle of a group of 300 and says, oh my gosh, that Penny person, cracks me up, that Penny person at Author Marketing Experts and their newsletter and their Twitter feed, and you've got to follow them, and they're great, they've got tons of information. They are just, you know, they're just doing so many great things. And what's really interesting is that turned the tide for her. But I don't even know who this woman was who got up and talked about us. I'm very appreciative to her. But she's a follower. She likes the information. We figured out what she needs, how to deliver it, and she is so in love with the message that she wants to spread the word. And that's something that I just, like, I couldn't get over it, you know, and that's really where you want to get to. I mean, not necessarily having people stand up in a room of 300, although that's wonderful, but getting people to go, oh my gosh, this is a great book, this is a great message. So the messaging is phenomenally important, and there's a really quick and easy way to do the messaging piece of it. And I teach this to authors in workshops and things like that. And I'm gonna share with you just sort of the overview of how to do it, which is something that anybody can do at home, and it's really, really easy. The first thing that you want to do is you want to identify what market are you in. So who are your fellow authors in that market? And I don't really like the word competition because I don't really believe in that. But who are the other authors who are in your market? And then, you know, look up the keywords. So, for example, if you've written memoir, or you've written, you know, and be specific on the type of, like, if you've written in memoir, be specific on the type of memoir that you've written. So, you know, is it World War II? Is it what, you know, whatever that is. If you've written paranormal romance, if you've written diet, whatever, you know, self-help or whatever, you know, really look up those keywords and then identify the authors that are on the first page of Google under those keywords. Those are your top authors in that market. Those are the people that you want to get to know. Those are the people that you want to network with. And you may go, oh my gosh, but I couldn't possibly, you know, yes, you absolutely can. All you have to do is just, you know, get to know. You could reach out to them and send them an email. You'd be surprised at how many people respond. But more importantly even than that is you want to see what they're saying. Because if they're the top author, I mean, some people are sort of grandfathered into that position. I mean, I'm thinking like John Grisham and James Patterson. I mean, these guys became brands back before there actually were brands and authors, you know, and the competition. I mean, now we have 1,500 books published every single day in this country. But I think that if you do this research, you're going to find that there are other authors other than the big names that we all become familiar with. There are other people that find their way onto that first page of Google. And get to know, see what they're talking about. What's in their Twitter stream? What's in their Facebook stream? What's their conversation look like? What are they talking about to the people who follow them? Because if you look at that, success leaves clues. That will tell you, that'll start to give you some idea of what your reader wants to know. So what does your reader care about? What is your reader, you know, what are their hot buttons? And that will help to kind of unearth that for you. Then what you want to do is, you know, listen, learn, and create your own message. So don't copy what they're saying, but create your own unique spin on the things that are important to your market. We did this with a gal and I tell the story a lot because it's so phenomenal. She came to us. I met her at a writer's conference, but she wasn't a writer. She's thinking about writing a book, but she had product, and she was only selling like $1,000 to $1,500 of the product on her website. And she was doing some consulting, but she had like 5 followers on Twitter. And she said, gosh, Penny, you know, I really feel like I can rock the house on Twitter, but I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand how, you know, how to have a conversation. And the only people following me are friends and my mother. So we did this exercise with her. We started to look at what people were saying. We realized what the hot buttons were, and we crafted her own unique message. And a year later, she's doing between $5,000 to $10,000 of sales on her website for her product. Her consulting is way up, and she has 18,000 followers on Twitter. So it absolutely does work, and it will take you through the paces, and it will save you a ton of time. Because you could do – I've seen people who do internet campaigns for years – and they never, it never really moves the needle because they're not, they're just talking and it's just white noise. And they're not really feeding into what their reader wants. And for everybody, that's going to be very different, you know. But that is really, I will tell you something, no matter if you're on Google Plus or LinkedIn or whatever, that's the biggest missing piece for a lot of people. And the Google trick is a great, great, great way to do that. The other thing that you can do, too, is you can follow some of these folks on Google, with Google Alerts, so you can see where they pop up. So you can really start to get a good landscape of, you know, what blogs are they appearing on? What websites are they being interviewed on? You know, what kind of activity is going on around this author, and really, really, really get to know the, sort of the ecosystem that you aspire to promote your books to.
Those are great ideas because always, you know, modeling yourself off of the people you'd like to be like is great advice always.
Well, and they say that, you know, people who talk about, I mean, like the Brian Tracy books and the success books and all that, they all sort of say the same thing, right? They all say, you know what, if you want to be like somebody, model yourself after them. Shadow them if you can. I mean, I don't know that how many people can actually shadow, you know, like, really, I mean, if you aspire to be, you know, who knows what, somebody really big and famous, it's a little tough to shadow them. But it's not that difficult to really sort of follow them through the trenches when you're following them online. And it's a really, really, really easy way to kind of, you know, mirror, you know, as I said, success leaves clues. And it's a great, great, great way to explore. Because otherwise people go, well, I don't have a marketing research firm to figure out what my audience wants. And that's a very reasonable statement because most of us, we have neither the time nor the money to invest in extensive research to figure out exactly what our market wants. But digging in and really sort of absorbing yourself in your market will help you do that.
Right. Right. And in the social networks, you can at least see what they're posting and what they're talking about.
You can see what they're posting and what they're talking about. Yeah, because, you know, and again, like I said, you can engage in their conversation. You start your own conversation. But really, you know, if you're going to, you know, and just like a networking meeting, I mean, if you're walking into a room of 100 people, you know, are you going to talk to somebody who just spends the entire time talking about themselves? Probably not. I mean, you're going to, I mean, that's, you know, and it's amazing that a lot of people do that online because, you know, you're behind your computer and so, oh, well, nobody's, you know, it's sort of, you feel like you're kind of shielded from that, but really it's just like walking into a room to a networking reception or a networking meeting where, you know, you want to talk to people who have an interest in what you're doing or who you can perhaps help with what you're doing. And you want to also talk to interesting people. So the online is no different. You know, they will also, people will gravitate to you if you are helpful, interesting, unique, timely. I mean, all of those things. But content is so, so, so important.
Right, right. Okay, so are there specific times of the day that are best for getting online and using the different social networks?
Well, it's really interesting because Wednesdays tends to have a higher engagement when you post on Facebook. Anything between 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 a.m. tends to get a better, tends to get, you know, more eyes to it on your Facebook page. What's really interesting is so much has changed about posting. It used to be, for example, if you were sending an online press release, you would never in a million years think about doing that over the weekend. But now Saturdays and Sundays are some of the highest days for viewing online content. So things like press releases specifically, newsletters, and pushing content out there, the weekends tend to be the best. Now, of course, you know, we say that and everybody goes and posts on the weekends, and then, you know, in a year or 2 years or whatever, it'll become like, oh, Tuesday's now the best day. But, you know, the whole thing about never sending an email on a Monday and Tuesday or Thursday tends to be a slow news day, all those things have changed. So, you know, Facebook tends to be, you know, on Wednesday, Twitter later in the day, much like Facebook, and then for anything like newsletters, press releases, anything that you're doing to announce your whatever, your book, your event, your product, you know, the weekends tend to be really, really good for that.
I wonder whether that's because people now have more time to read the longer pieces, you know, on the weekend.
You know, Nina, I don't know about you, but I tend to be, like, during the week, you know, I'm on calls or I'm doing webinars or I'm running to appointments or I'm doing whatever, and I don't always in the evenings have time to catch up. I mean, I do the immediate stuff, and then, you know, I tend to really do a lot of my catch-up on Saturdays and Sundays, which is kind of unfortunate when you think about it, because now that's become an extended Friday in a way. But, you know, a lot of people do that. You have more time to read those blog posts. I mean, I've noticed, and if you look at your Google Analytics, take a look and see when your highest engagement is. Our highest engagement is on the weekends on our website because people have an opportunity to read. They're
right.
Not being, you know, we're a little less ADD on Saturdays and Sundays when our email isn't pinging constant messages to us and things like that. So,
right.
You know.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So what about for authors who, as we talked about, they tend to not want to get on social networking? They think it's a time sink and it gets them away from their writing. So do you recommend that authors be on social networks?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I really – and, you know, not everybody has to be on Twitter. Not everybody has to be on Google+. But you should – I mean, I do think that Google+ is here to stay. I think there are enough big people on it. Big names. I mean, right now it's like Twitter was, you know, 5 years ago when Twitter first started, just a bunch of really great marketing people. I mean, pretty soon, you know, Oprah and Ashton Kutcher will have pages on Google+, and then there goes the neighborhood. But, but you know, I mean, it really, you really, really should have a presence, and I'll tell you why. Facebook does not convert. So if you're on Facebook, really, I mean, Facebook dabbled in e-commerce some time ago, maybe about a year ago or so. But really, people who land on Facebook, they don't really want to buy. What you want to do is you want to create a conversation. I mean, it's a very big, you know, I mean, there's a huge amount of traffic that comes into Facebook. There are a lot of people on there. And, you know, it becomes sort of like a funnel site. So you start on that site, you start engaging people in conversations, and then you know, you lead them back to your website, and you lead them there with information with, oh, take a look at this. You know, here's a blog post. I mean, you're going to say something a little bit more interesting than that. But, you know, you really want to capture them into this big funnel site and then, you know, and then lead them to your website. The other thing is, you know, Facebook is sort of like faxing, right, back in the 1980s. I can remember, and I don't know if you remember this, but I can remember when, you know, a friend of mine, and he had a home-based business, and he got a fax machine. I was like, ooh, wow, really, you got a fax machine? That's so cool. And I remember thinking, why on earth would I need a fax machine? Why do I need anything that quickly, right? And now I sit here at my email, and if I send a message and somebody doesn't get that within 30 seconds, I'm like, oh, my God, my email's so slow, right? I mean, it's just like ridiculous sort of where we've come to. And Facebook is kind of the same way, you know. And now it's like if people, you know, back then, if everybody didn't have a fax machine, people sort of looked at you like, huh, okay, well, guess you're not really in business. And then it was the websites, right? Then, you know, ooh, wow, he has a website. Now, if you don't have a website, you're kind of like, oh, you're not really in the game. You're kind of pretending to be in the game, but you're not really in the game. Facebook
right.
is the same way. Twitter, I mean, you know, I think Twitter is, and I'm not diminishing Twitter because I love Twitter, and I would never be without my Twitter stream, but Twitter is kind of funny because it doesn't work for everybody as well as Facebook does. So, yeah, you want to have a fan page. Don't leave all of your goodies and your information on your profile because there are limitations with the profile. Google does, contrary to some of the information that's out there, Google does index fan pages, so your fan pages will show up in Google. But, yeah, you really – and you know what? here's the thing. Get on there, create a fan page, and just start building. And, you know, initially when you start doing social media, I will tell you, it's very, very normal to feel like you're just talking. You're standing in a room alone just talking to yourself. It's like you show up to a speaking gig and nobody else is there, but you still have to get on stage and do your talk, right? It's the same thing. You feel like there's, okay, well, there's nobody listening. Eventually, if you are speaking, if you are saying the things that your readers want to hear, people will show up. And it's very funny how that happens. People just, they find you. When I've done training before, you know, because sometimes folks just like, listen, I have got more time than money and I just want you to train me because I can do this Twitter thing. And you know, with sometimes with a little bit of training, people are just, they're rock stars. So I spent some time with this gal and she called me up a couple days later. She goes, okay, I think we have a problem. And I said, what's going on? She said, people are following me. Twitter. And I said, well, that's really good. It was kind of funny, right? She was so cute about it. She goes, people are following me. And I'm like, well, good. That's great. She goes, I get like 5 and 10 new followers every day. I'm like, that's great. You know, the numbers never lie. So as if you're wondering, so if you've done all this work and you followed all these authors and you've identified your message and you don't know if you're still on message, the numbers never lie. So you will start to see people, you'll start to see your followers and your likes climbing. It's the same thing like when we came back from Blog World, I had a bunch of video that I'd captured and I put it up on our YouTube channel. And the video just skyrocketed our hits to our website. People love video. I need to do more video. The numbers never lie. So, you know, it's really just a matter of understand that you're not alone. You know, you're not the only person out there that's struggling with social media. Everybody is. Huh?
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, everybody, whether it's figuring out how to use it, figuring out when to use it, figuring out how much time, you know, it should, but you should manage it so that it doesn't become this, you know, unless you are, you know, unless you are aspire to be Chris Brogan or Guy Kawasaki or one of those fabulous internet rock stars, the internet, you know, social media should not be your life. You should spend 15 to 30 minutes on it a day, if that. In some cases, I only spend 15 minutes every day. And I mean, I teach social media. So it should not consume, you know, you should still be able to have dinner with your family and have vacations. You know, but some people get, you know, they put it on their phone, they put it on their iPad, and they become consumed. And if that's your thing and if that's your market, then that's great. But it's not everybody's market, so don't feel like you have to be plugged in all the time.
Right. So I was going to say when I to go back to what you were saying about following people who you want to be like or who are in your niche or anything like that. Interestingly, you know, when I came back from Blog World Expo in Los Angeles, I not only followed a few people on Twitter that I had met there, but also we had some conversations. My Twitter followers immediately went up.
Yeah.
So that just to show that being involved and having the people who followed them suddenly said, "Who's that?"
Yeah.
And clicked on me, looked at who I was, looked at my profile, and followed me.
Yeah.
So even that is a good thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is a good thing, and it really is a and then again, you know, you want to say something. You want to be out there and having a conversation and saying something interesting. I mean, when I would follow your Twitter stream, I mean, there's a reason that people follow you because you say things that are different, that are interesting, they're helpful. You know what I mean? So that's there's a benefit. People have to have a benefit to following anybody because we all get so much information. I mean,
right.
I don't know about you, but you know, my spam filter is like this monster that I sort of wrestle with,
right,
kind of on a daily basis, and everybody does. You know, it's not like I'm the only person on the planet with a spam filter. So we have a lot of information, and if you're not interesting actually to your target market, they're just gonna unfollow you.
Right. I wanted to go back to something you mentioned about fan pages. So if we're talking about Facebook, you mentioned having a profile and having a fan page. And earlier you were talking about branding yourself, really. And so when, as writers and authors, we go onto Facebook and we have our profile and then we create this fan page. So, for instance, I have both. Is it should we be having a fan page that's for our book? Should we have it also as our name? What do you recommend?
You know what, that is a great, great, great question. What I would really recommend is that you have, figure out, first off, figure out what you want to be. As I say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Where are you going? You know, where is this journey taking you? If you are a fiction writer, then you should be the brand, unless you have a character, unless you have like a series of characters. Let's take the Twilight series as an example, okay? I would never, if I were working, if I had just, like, Stephanie Meyer wasn't Stephanie Meyer, and she came to us and she said, look, I've got this series, it's a vampire, I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, what do you think? I'd be like, oh, you've got a series, let's brand you under the Twilight series, because I think that's going to be a much stronger market for you to do that. Most people, and it's interesting when you think about it, most people know the Twilight name and they go, okay, who is that author again, right? Whereas, with Harry Potter, that changed a little bit because she became a little bit more of the brand, which I don't know that necessarily hurt her sales, but, I would always recommend look at where you want to go. Like, for example, I would never brand my company as me, because I don't want people thinking that I'm just the only person here when I have this team of amazing women that works with me, right? But your Facebook, and you can have multiple brands, but that gets complicated, because I've had authors who say, look, I write children's books and I write paranormal romance. Now, you probably don't want to put those on the same fan page, not just because, parents are probably going to go, well, she writes these weird paranormal romances, I don't want my kids liking this page, but because you're speaking to two completely different audiences,
Right.
So that's where you have to really look at, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? This isn't just a decision you make sitting in this place, because you could be the next Stephanie Meyer with this Twilight series. And, okay, look, I have this series of books and this is what I want to do. I would look more to branding these books, and not just because I know what I know now about the movies and the success of this, but because, people can fall in love. Like, for example, when characters carry from book to book, people tend to fall in love with those characters and they follow those characters, and those characters become almost a stronger carrier of your message than you do. I've known people who have books that, with recurring characters, and they blog under those characters, and the author becomes just this backdrop,
Right.
You really, it's not an easy question to answer, Nina, unfortunately. I mean, it really has to be, if you have a business, then you have to look at whether you want to be the brand of that business or you want the business to be the brand. And again,
right.
It is a business decision. I mean, from a strategy of, if you think that you're going to be a sole proprietor for the rest of your life and that's where you want to be, and that's fine, then maybe you are the brand. But if you have a business and you have books and you have product and you may eventually want to do, whatever else, you may want to look at making the message the brand. And you know what? You can change that. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be, oh my God, I've picked this, now what am I going to do? When I first launched this company, honestly, I had no idea where I was going to be in 5 years. If somebody would have asked me that, I was like, I don't know, And I branded the business as me, and then I took a look at this a year or two into it, and I was like, oh gosh, you know what? We want to incorporate, we want to do this, we want to do that. And then that changed the whole, that changed the whole look of everything.
Right.
And in many cases, you can a lot of times rename, you can rename a lot of these properties too. Like we did our Facebook page, and we, did our Twitter account and our YouTube account and things like that. So a lot of these can be rebranded as well. You just don't want to get too far down the path and then go, oops, guess what? I should have thought about this differently.
Right. Okay. So how would you say we should best maximize our posts on Facebook?
Well, I mean, I think that, it's really, here's the thing. I mean, people ask me all the time, what's really the best content to post on Facebook? Questions, taking polls from people, what is your favorite, blah, blah. And it should, for the most part, dial into your message. It doesn't always have to. Fill in the blanks tend to get really high response rate. So So, for example, we have a gal who we've worked with, and she's promoting her books and a dog magazine. And so she talks about dogs. So what's your dog's favorite toy? What's your dog's favorite snack? And that's, so it's a fill in the blank. So you can ask questions and really, really engage people. The other thing is you don't want to just ask a question and leave. So you want to, you know, you want to continually keep the conversation going. Again, remember, it's like a networking party. If you drop in on the conversation and then somebody asks you a question back or respond, you want to respond in kind. So you don't want to just leave the conversation and go, oh, oops, you know, and have that sort of, that whole thing sort of dormant on your page. You can also feed your blog through your Facebook page. So anything that you post on your blog, which is a good time saver actually, because, you know, you can, it feeds your Facebook page with consistent content. Pictures tend to get a really high response rate. So we try to put up pictures whenever we can. Video, as I mentioned, video gets a really high response rate. You know, again, try to engage as best as you can. Try to engage the voices on your page and get them involved in your, you know, this little village that you have or that you're trying to grow on Facebook.
Okay, great. So can an author just have a social network and skip a website, or do you think they need to have both?
No, I do think, you know, that's a really great question. I do think that they need to have both because, you know, it's sort of like crop sharing, right? I mean, you don't want to just get, you don't want to just put everything onto Facebook or onto Twitter or Google Plus or whatever and then not have a website, because if those properties ever go away or if you fail to follow the terms of service, you could get your page pulled and then there you go. So you definitely want to have a website. It's very tempting because these tools are so interactive now. There's so much stuff that you can do on Facebook and all those properties that people say, oh, I'm just going to have a Facebook page. Really, really recommend that you get a website. And you know what, guys, you don't have to spend a ton of money on a website. I mean, really, I would recommend getting something professionally done, but you know, you can get something fairly, very inexpensive now. It's no longer this, ooh, okay, websites are $5,000. I mean, those, you can spend that much on a website, but that it's not the norm by any, you know, by any stretch.
Well, and these days, even a blog, you can get blogging software that will serve as a website,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
WordPress site will provide you with a blog and a website all at the same time.
Which is, you know what, and WordPress is, because our website is entirely WordPress. WordPress is fantastic. I mean, it is a great platform. And yeah, and you can get all kinds of, you know, there's a lot of templates and things like that that you can get and use. And you just, you really, because the other thing too, guys, is that it takes a lot longer to get into the conversation than most people think. A lot of times, and Nina, I'm sure you see this too, a lot of times, authors will come to us a week before their book launches and go, okay, I need a website. Okay, and we don't design. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't design websites here, so we, you know, we refer out for that. But, you know, you really, really, really want to start getting into the conversation way, way sooner. And I love to tell the story about Marcy Shimoff, who we worked with, and she's amazing. She was in the movie The Secret. She was featured in several Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and she's got a huge following. You would think that somebody like that, who is part of all of these mega brands, would not need to promote her book, and she started promoting Happy for No Reason, I think, 8 months prior to the release date of that book. So, yeah, you really, really want to start early. As early as you reasonably can.
Right, and that's why, you know, I asked the questions that I did at the very beginning of this teleseminar, because so many of my clients show up, you know, they hire me to help them with their book proposals, and they show up and they have nothing when it comes to the promotion section and the platform sections, which are the most important sections of a book proposal.
Yeah.
And they haven't thought about how they'll promote online, and they don't have the mechanisms to promote online because they don't have the social networks yet. They, you know, they haven't built those or even started, and they don't have a website, and they don't have a blog. They don't have any of this. And those are also the ways that they build platform. So they don't have promotion mechanisms, and they don't have platform boards in place that they've used. So it's a real problem, and they want to put this proposal together and send it out, you know, ASAP and get a book deal, and without those pieces in place, they can't. It really has to start, you know, like Marcy, 9 months or more. I mean, I worked on my platform for years.
Yeah, you really do have to. I mean, it has to be the earlier that you can start, the earlier that you can start, the better. I mean, that's all. It's crucial because there is so much. People have a lot of choices now. There are a lot of choices on what you can do or what you can subscribe to and what you can, you know, what communities you can become a part of. So you want to get into that conversation as early as you can.
So do you have any great SEO tips that you could offer for our listeners? How can an author get better ranking for their website?
Well, absolutely. And I'd love to chat about that because it was interesting. When we redid our website, we relaunched it in August of 2010. So it's been just over a year. And we ranked probably page 2 for the term book marketing on Google. And I mean, and that was great, certainly, but obviously, you know, everybody wants to be on page 1. So the first thing that you want to do is, and I'm happy to, if any of your listeners want a copy of this, I just wrote an article on traffic and SEO that goes into more detail about keywords and placement and how to sort of figure out that maze of which keywords that you want to, you know, that you want to have on your website and using in your blogs and things like that. But the first piece of this, obviously, is what do you want to rank for? What terms do you want to rank for? And when we looked at that, we realized that we wanted to rank, obviously, for book marketing. Now, I had thought originally that I wanted to rank for publishing, but I realized that a lot of people who search for publishing are looking actually for publishers, and that's not what we are. So we wanted to rank for book marketing, and we used it on the copy of our homepage. I try to use it as much as I can in blog posts without, you know, overtly using the keywords and doing keyword stuffing and things like that. And then we also, and here's a really, really great trick, we also used it in our URL. Now, I got Book Marketing AME. So Book Marketing AME is not a URL that we actually give out, but it just points to amarketingexpert.com. We renamed our YouTube channel Book Marketing AME, Facebook Book Marketing AME, and then the only thing that remained the same was Book Gal on Twitter because a lot of people know me as Book Gal. In fact, I've actually had people at networking events walk up to me and go, oh, you're Book Gal, which is kind of funny. so we used those keywords, and what that did along with using the wording on the website is it really, really helped to bump our website up in exposure, and also obviously having the WordPress platform. And literally 3 months later, we went from page 2 to page 1 and were the first or second search, if you search the term book marketing. So that's a really, really good way. I mean, just using the keywords in every place that you can, and in particular on the URL. And let me explain that to you. You know, for example, if you're trying to rank for, and let's just say paranormal romance, because this is an interesting example. We had an author that wanted to rank for this, and paranormalromance.com was gone years ago. But what I told her to do is I said, get the URL paranormal romance author. And Google doesn't necessarily care about that final word, which is why we have Book Marketing AME, which is Author Marketing Experts. But they care about the first, you know, that first set of words, so book marketing. And that's what they look at as, you know, as it starts to spider and get you up higher in the search ranking. So figure out what your keywords are. Those are the things that really, really help you to nudge your site up in Google. Nobody can ever promise you first page of Google. Nobody, especially in an age where, you know, Google is really taking a hard look at the content on websites and the authority of the site and, you know, how appropriate the content and the keywords are and things like that, and they are really policing that. But it's all about the search, right? I mean, I think book reviews are great. I'm not a huge fan of book reviews as much as I used to be because bloggers are very inundated. The book review process takes a long time, and folks sometimes get weary of waiting. But I think that, you know, one of the things that I found and studies have shown is that people who plug in keywords into a search engine are far more likely to buy than somebody who just happens on a book review. And it's not that book reviews don't sell books, but the process takes a little bit longer. When somebody goes onto a computer and types in book marketing, they're probably looking for book marketing companies. They're not just tire kicking. You know, they're not just window shopping. So that's part of the reason that I really, really, really encourage authors, start early, figure out what your branding is going to be, figure out what your keywords are. And you can, as I said, you can email me. I've got the keyword article that I can send out. But figure out what your keywords are and then really, really, really work on your ranking. How are you showing up in Google? What page? Because most of us, and Nina, I'm sure this is true for you too, most of us do not get past page one on Google when we're doing searches.
Right. Well, actually, my How to Blog a Book did. It is number one after the ads.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's
and I
the
think
only
that,
one of mine.
Yeah. And I'm, but I think that, I mean, I think that is, that's fantastic. And that's where, and it's such a great idea for a book too, but that's really where you want to be. You know, and
right,
think
but
about,
I'm wondering, I was thinking, though, what you're saying, though, is about buying the URLs. So you're saying that will help, is having the correct URLs with the keywords in it.
Yeah, but then you have to think about, okay, so if somebody is really wanting to turn their blog into a book, are they really typing in your book title or are they typing in blog to book?
Right, so that's what I'm asking. Or are they putting in blogging? So, see, I don't come up under blogging. So that's what I'm. That's why when you said that, I started immediately thinking, you know, because I think we all think about ourselves, right? So I started thinking, well, when I put in, you know, how to blog or blog, you know, when I put in blog to blog a book, I come up. But when I put in blogging, I don't.
Well, what I would do is go over to a website, and this is a great exercise. I'm really glad that you brought this up. Go over to a website called Soovle, and it's S-O-O-V-L-E. And what you do is type in blog to book. What was the other one that I said? Was it blog? They may type in something like turning your blog into a book or something like that. But experiment with some of those keywords or those phrases rather. Because what Soovle will do is it'll show you what's coming up under those various phrases on different sites. So it shows you what comes up in Google, I think also Yahoo, I know Bing, YouTube, Amazon. So you can start to see what people might be searching under, and that will help you to identify the keywords. Because we always, generally speaking, unless you have a pretty unique book title, we will always come up under our names and our book title, right? So that's not something that you necessarily, I mean, because like I just finished Get Published Today. I really doubt if anybody gets into Google and types Get Published Today, right? I just don't think that people type in that type. I think they type in something like, you know, getting published or just publishing in general, right? So figure out exactly, and then, yeah, I would get, do you have a website for that book specifically?
It has a blog, so yes.
It has. Oh, of course, it has a blog, right? Hello,
blog.
Yeah. I get the dumb question award for the call, but yeah, you can definitely look up that URL. And I'd be really curious if you want to email me after the call what you end up finding out. And like I said, okay. I am happy to send that article, the keyword research article out. We're going to get it ready to post it to HuffPo, but I would be more than happy to send that out because I think that you're really on to something. I think you should explore it and then figure it out because that could really help, you know. And it takes a little bit of time for it to kind of get, you know, for Google to re-spider it. But once you figure out what those keywords are, use it on the copy on the homepage and generally no more than 250 words on the copy on the homepage because I don't like to see really wordy homepages. And, you know, use it in the URL as you're putting together blog posts and press releases and all that other stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So yeah, I'd be really, really curious to see what comes of that.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
Maybe we could take that URL and put it in the follow-up when I send people their recording.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be great as an experiment because certainly it's a great, because you can go in a lot of different ways for this. So this is a great experiment.
Right. Okay. So, what's the best way, do you think, to start an internet campaign for an author?
Well, I think the best way first is to, as I pointed out initially, figure out who the other authors are in the market, follow them, look and listen, see what's going on. You know, you generally will, you know, you want to kind of get a sense of what the playing field looks like a little bit. So figure out what people are saying, figure out what's going on, figure out, you know, what they're saying online, and then start to identify the networks that make the most sense for you. Because I've been talking about Facebook, but you may be better served on LinkedIn. It really depends on your market. LinkedIn tends to be much more professionals, business, you know, executives. But, you know, we're in business, and we do much better on Facebook than we do on LinkedIn. So, you know, you really want to identify the networks that are right for you. You may be much better served being on YouTube and Facebook. Again, I keep coming back to YouTube because there's just so much exciting stuff going on with them right now. So that's the first thing that you want to do. And then start gradually. And remember that, you know, you've got, if you start early enough, you've got enough time to ramp up, to get your message right, and to start building traction. But the first thing you want to do is you want to identify the other experts in your market, subscribe to their feeds, you know, research, look, and listen, and then engage in the conversation.
Okay, great. And what's the best way to manage all of this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, that's a really good question because, you know, I wrote an article called, you know, How to Have a Really Successful Internet Campaign and Still Have a Life, because it is all-consuming. So one of the things that I recommend that people do is recycle information. Because, look, I mean, I know you blog a lot. You've got a lot of content out there. You know, we've got the newsletter. We've got the website. We've got the blog. We have Facebook. We're doing on Twitter. I blog for Huffington Post. I mean, there's a lot of information that we're pushing out there. I don't have the ability to be that creative where every day I'm coming up with something new. So we do recycle. But we don't recycle to the point that somebody is like, oh, my God, I've seen that article now 5 times on their website this week. So we'll use an article, like I'll write something for the newsletter, and maybe a couple weeks later it'll appear in the blog, you know. And so that's how I recommend that you look at the content that you have existing, see what you can recycle. I do pull stuff from my book, so I use things from Get Published Today. I use things from Red Hot Internet Publicity. And, you know, and I reuse, you know, some existing content. Obviously, I do create a lot of new content still. I subscribe to Google Alerts. I look at Google Trends a lot to see what's trending, what I can talk about. I subscribe to people's RSS feeds so I can see what they're saying that I can retweet or that I can talk about and go, oh, my gosh, look at what Nina's saying. That's so smart. You all should do this, or whatever that is. Do you see what I mean? So
Right. Give
yourself enough opportunity for fresh incoming content to come to you, and then look at what you have existing and how you can reuse it in a way that doesn't look too repetitive, but that still helps to spread that information out. Because, you know, I just believe that people do not come to you through the same doors. Some people are going to find me on HuffPo. Some people are going to find me on Facebook. You know, most people do not find me in the same place and go, oh, look, she had that HuffPo article, and it's also, you know, it was on Facebook a week ago, or something along those lines. And I've never, as much as we've polled people, because I've done a lot of research on this, as much as we've polled people, nobody's ever said, boy, those author marketing experts people, they sure are boring because they reuse that content. Because people just don't, we have so much coming at us, we don't stumble on the same information in the same way. So, you know, that's the one thing, because you really have got, you will exhaust yourself if you try to come up with all this fresh content. And also interview other people. You know, interview other people, let other people do guest posting. You know, I have a couple people, because I was interviewing some folks from Blog World. I have some people that are going to be guest posting on Huffington Post, on our blog and our newsletter. Get other experts to come in and talk about what they specialize in. And it's a great way to bring in new content to your website and your blog and your, you know, wherever else that you're putting content out.
Okay, great. And does doing that help prevent it from being a time sink, all this social networking, or do you have other tools you use?
Well, you know, there are a lot of linking tools. So you can link your blog to your Facebook and your Twitter feed, which I recommend that you do. But once you know, here's the thing. You have to figure out how you're going to manage the content. So you manage the content. You have Google Alerts. Maybe it comes into a separate email, which you check, you know, a couple, 3 times a week or whatever. You know, so first you manage the content. And then, you know, you figure out where you want to go. As I pointed out earlier, figure out what you want to be when you grow up. You know, if you want to be a Guy Kawasaki, then boy, you'd better be cranking out original content all the time, 24/7. You'd better be online and Twittering and doing everything, even from the dinner table. But if you're writing memoir, if you're writing fiction, if you're writing, you know, or if you're just out there doing, you know, your own thing, and the internet is help to facilitate the message growth, but it's not, you know, who you are, then your slice of that as part of your promotion is going to look very different. So these are the tools. Now everybody has to kind of decide how much time that they want to spend. But I really recommend, and I'm not kidding you, there are all kinds of timers. There's, I think, countdowntimer.com. I will keep that up. So I'll spend X amount of time researching for blog post ideas and things like that, and I'll time it. Because I don't know about you, Nina, but I'll tell you what, I have many Saturdays looked up from my desk and done research, and it's like the internet's like sometimes this black hole. And, it's, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, what the heck? You know? So you
right,
really.
There's so much to read.
There's so much
to read. That's interesting and good.
It is. And you go from one thing to another to another to another. So I really recommend, and you know, the other thing that I do actually for content management is I have a Kindle, and I have an older version of a Kindle, even though I know the Kindle Fire is out and everybody's all excited about it, which is great. But I will send a lot of like all my newsletters. I have all of the things that are bookmarked that I want to read, because I don't always have the time during the day to read long blog posts, and I will send them all to my Kindle. And then, you know, when I have a free moment, I have the app on my phone, I can take some time and read it and get caught up. So there are a lot of ways that you can manage the content without it managing you.
Okay. And then last, because I want to open it up for some questions, what about blogging? You know, of course, I'm very interested in blogging, obviously, because I have the book coming out about blogging. Do you think blogging still matters, especially to authors who very often also feel that that's just one more thing they need to be doing?
I know. Isn't it crazy? I mean, they're like, oh, God, now I have to blog. Yes, blogging is really relevant. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why it's relevant. First off, you've got to get your voice out there, and it personalizes your website. So, you know, the Author Marketing Expert site is what it is, but people, 80% of our traffic come to us through our blog. They do not land on our homepage. So the blog really, really helps. It involves people in your conversation. But from a ranking perspective, search engines, and we always tend to default to Google because most of us use it as our primary search engine, search engines love sites that are updated frequently and that have fresh content. Every time you update a blog post, it's like updating your entire site. So it pings the search engines and it tells them that you have content, and it continually helps with your search ranking, because the one thing that search engines hate are static sites that never change. And the other thing is you really want to have your blog attached to your website, because if you have to click off and go to another site to go to your blog, that does not benefit your website at all. So it has to be attached. And it's very simple to do. I don't do it because I'm not a web person. I'm not a web design person. But your web design person can do it. It's super easy to do. And when you do that, it brings it all under the same umbrella, and then everything that you do on that blog benefits your site overall. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Because I know that's confusing sometimes.
It makes a lot of sense. I always explain this, having your blog hosted as self-hosting, as opposed to hosted by the. It gets very confusing. But what I always say is, if you get a free blog which you don't host on your website, it's like having your blog in a condominium complex, and you know, people go there, and all the blogs are living there together. And if you have a self-hosted blog, your blog is at your home. It's a one-person residence.
Right,
that's where
right,
the
right.
readers come. They come to your residence, and they show up there at your home.
Right. And you know what? That's a great analogy, because it's absolutely true. It is. It's like going to a condominium complex where they all look the same, and, you know.
Yeah.
And the one thing about the condominium complex, too, is somebody decides to tear it down and build a strip mall, there you go.
That's right. Bye-bye blog.
Bye-bye blog. Yeah, exactly.
So we don't have that much time left. I'd like to encourage people to unmute themselves, press *6 if they have a question for Penny. anybody out there who would like to press star 6 and ask Penny a question. No, we may have lost everybody. I don't know.
I hope I wasn't that boring.
No, I don't think so. I don't think
I
so. You
question.
Had so much information.
I have a question.
Okay.
Penny, you had mentioned online promotion is key. And one of the things you said is identify authors under keywords on Google.
Uh-huh.
Could you just elaborate a little bit on how to find those authors under Google?
Well, I mean, you want to figure out what keywords are associated with your market and then plug those into Google. Because those
okay.
will help you to identify the authors that are in your genre. Does that make sense?
It does, but I mean if I were on Google where you have the where you can put in text, you're just put in keywords there and then push enter. Am I keeping it too simple?
Just type in your keywords and then hit enter and it'll pull up your search.
Oh, okay.
So I could put in blogging, for instance, and hit search, and it will come up with all kinds of different sites, and some of those might be an author. Is that correct, Penny?
Right, exactly. And you can also add the plus author or plus book, and it'll help to sort of isolate more of those results for you, too.
Okay. Oh, very good. Yeah, I just tried it. I see what you're saying now. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for the question. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a question? Thought I heard somebody else. I was curious about what you said early on about white noise versus whatever is the opposite of that. I was trying to come up with what that would be, but something we want to hear. So when we're actually trying to make ourselves heard on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn or wherever we are, Google Plus, what is the difference between white noise and something else that we would want to be putting out there?
Well, I think that it's the you know, the kinds of conversations that people want. You know, you have to really, when you think about somebody sort of and the white noise, and you think of that just sort of this buzzing and whatnot. When you stop somebody's experience, so when you sort of interject yourself into their day and you stop their experience and like, oh wait, let's see what Nina has to say about that, then that interrupts them, you know, it interrupts their day. And you have to, you know, when you think about the things that catch your attention during the day, right, there are certain things and there are certain ways, like let's take, for example, the news. There are certain ways that the news delivers their news, right, that gets your attention. And you have to, which is part of the reason why, you know, the news has become, like, you see breaking news all over the place, because it's become so crucial to capture people's attention. And unfortunately, because of that, we've become a little bit of a breaking news junkie nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you really have to, and you don't necessarily always have to interrupt their experience with breaking news. But if it matters to them, they will pay attention. You know, so if it's something that, and you think about, I mean, like, look at when you started chatting about, you know, the keywords for your book, right? People immediately associate whatever somebody is chatting about to them, and that's a very normal reaction. So if you're saying something, you're now pulling that person out of their white noise, and they're like, oh, wait, now the wheels are turning. Okay, and that's when you pull somebody into your message. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay.
It does. Thank you. So one more chance. Anybody else out there have any questions for Penny? Remember to press star 6 and unmute yourself. Well, then I'm going to ask you, Penny, is there any final tips that you would want to offer us before we close the call?
Well, I would just like to say that, you know, I hope that this information, first off, has been really helpful. And I would encourage everybody to just, you know what, dip your toe into promotion and start to, into the internet, and start the conversation, because you may be really pleasantly surprised at where it takes you. And if you manage it effectively, as opposed to letting it manage you, because let's face it, right, the internet is sort of like this gorilla that kind of steps in the room and says, it won't pay attention to me, and there's so much content coming at us. But if you're really, really diligent about managing your time and managing the information, it can become a really, really positive experience, both for you growing your network and in particular for your book when it's launched. So, you know, get out there and don't be afraid to ask questions, because we are, you know, there are a lot of people, and I sit in internet sessions all the time, and people are at all different phases of their promotion. There's a lot of confusing information. Get out there, ask questions, sign up for classes, get lots of information, and then start to embark on your own internet journey. But don't be afraid to do it.
Right. Well, thank you for saying that, because I think that that's part of the issue. I think that people are quiet because they get a little intimidated, and as I said, authors just don't seem to want to get involved in social networking and in all the opportunities that are out there that it has to offer. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time today to offer this information, because I think it's so very valuable. And I hope that the people who were on the call will take your advice and put all these tips and tools and all this information to use.
Well, I thank you, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on the call. And never hesitate to ask me a question. There's no such thing as a stupid question, and especially if it's keeping you from your success, you should definitely find somebody and get your questions answered. So good luck, and thank you, Nina, so much for inviting me to be on. I so appreciate it.
Well, it was my pleasure, and I'm so honored to have you on the call, and it was a great pleasure chatting with you today. And thank you again. And this has been Penny Sansevieri and Nina Amir as part of the Write Nonfiction in November Challenge. Thank you all for being here today. And here is to your publishing success.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.